Hello, and welcome to a special presentation of A Good Book. I'm SunSounds director Andrea Pasquale, and my guest today is author and SunSounds alumni volunteer Lee Close, who has just released her new book, Late for the Bus, An Adoption Story. Welcome back, Lee.
Thank you, Andrea.
Great to have you here today.
Thank you.
Now, give us a little background about your time with SunSounds, because you and I was here in 2007, and you were here recording your show, In Tune with Music.
Yes, and I began over on the old studio on 32nd Street in Roosevelt with lots of machinery that looked really kind of space-agey, took up a lot of space. And I started with the program called Wildlife. And then I moved to In Tune with Music, and I did that program for 7 years. And I think I started it maybe in 2002 or three, something like that. I did do some live interviews as well, and just loved every minute of it.
And then things changed for you. You moved away.
We moved up to the Red Rock country of Sedona.
Now, who's we?
We is my partner, Phil, and me.
And how you and Phil were both at SunSounds.
Yes, we were. In fact, when Phil moved to Arizona, I was already doing a program with Wildlife, and I got the opportunity to do In Tune with Music, and I love classical music and opera. But then I needed to find a replacement for Wildlife. So Phil came in and auditioned and got the program Wildlife. So it was great. We commuted together and recorded together, of course, in separate booths. But we had so much fun. It was a great memory in our life before we moved to Sedona.
Well, welcome back. Now, the reason we have you here is because you just wrote this really astounding book, and it's called Late for the Bus, An Adoption Story. So tell us a little bit about your adoption story and what inspired you to write this book.
Well, that's a lifelong quest. And the title of the book came after I knew who my birth family was. And Late for the Bus is a play on Late for the Bus, obviously. But the name is B-U-S-S. And the reason Late for the Bus is spelled with two S's is I was late for the bus, my family, who is Dr. Gerald Buss, the owner of the Los Angeles Lakers, who passed away in 2013, and my six siblings, who each own 11% of the Lakers franchise. So by the time I found out who my family was, I was a little late.
Now, this was a long journey for you.
Yes, it was a long journey. As a child, I was always curious, and I was adopted privately at birth, and my birth parents did everything correctly. They did it properly. They were married, but they chose to give away their first child, who was me, and my adoptive parents received the exchange when I was 3 days old. So I went home with my birth parents as a tiny infant, and I never had a question about adoption in terms of my adoptive parents. They were sweet and kind and loving, but I knew they weren't my parents because my birth parents, and I figured that out really early. They were twice the age of my birth parents. So Jerry and Joanne were 20, and my adoptive parents were each 40. So they always seemed a little more like grandparents, which can be a good thing. And so when I was in third grade, well, this won't surprise too many people, but I always talked excessively, and I was always getting in trouble. It's in my report cards that I talk excessively, which is good for SunSounds, right? But
we call that outgoing.
Yes, I was a very outgoing child. I was asked to stand outside in third grade. I was asked to stand outside in the hallway after class one day as a punishment. A teacher from the classroom next door came over. My teacher kicked the doorstop open, and the door was open. I stood in the hallway, and I could hear them talking. And then I made out that my teacher said, "Well, you know, she's adopted." And that was the beginning of the wound that never healed.
So you ended up finding out quite by accident.
Well, what happened was I joined an organization called ALMA. I don't even know if they're still around, but it was called the Adoptee Liberties Movement. And they said I could go to where the state that I was born in, go to the Bureau of Vital Statistics, and there I could receive some non-identifying information. I was born in California, so I went to Sacramento in 1990 and signed papers. And just a couple weeks later, I received what they call non-identifying information. Well, that infuriated me because my parents were married. They were educated. My birth father already had his bachelor's at the age of 20 and was on a fast track to a PhD in chemistry. I had a neighbor at that time that I talked to often. She was a family therapist by trade. And she said, "You know, this is much further than I want to go with you. I think you need to talk to someone." And she introduced me to Dr. Carl Hammerschlag, a psychiatrist here in the Valley, who had done a lot of work with Native Americans and very well known, had written a book called The Dancing Healers. And she said, "You might want to buy that book before you see him." So I did, and I read it and had an appointment. I went through a lot of therapy with Dr. Hammerschlag, who told me that the way my birth parents felt at that moment might not have been the way they felt later on, and that I had to forgive them. And through time, I did. I participated in Native American sweat lodges and Native-led. That's very important. And in time, I did forgive, but I didn't forget. And so in 2017, there was a commercial for Ancestry, and it said, "Give the gift of Ancestry." And I went, I don't know, should I? And I did. I got the packet, spit in the tube, sent it off. Lo and behold, I got it back, and I had a first cousin named Susan. Well, when you join Ancestry, it's a little confusing. You have to understand what a first cousin could be. It could be many different things, but Ancestry will label it as a first cousin. Well, she was an author, and she happened to live right here in Arizona. And she said, "Why don't you buy my book?" It's like, okay. So I bought her book. I opened it up, and it's the dedication was to my beloved brother, Jerry. And as I kept reading, I realized, Jerry Buss. And I went, "Jerry Buss? Hey, isn't that that Lakers owner?" Because I was from California, and my aunt was a big Lakers fan. I went, "Jerry Buss, wow." As I kept reading, she explained further that, yes, this was Jerry Buss of the Los Angeles Lakers. So I went, "Hey, that's cool. That's pretty neat. Then that means he's also my cousin. That's cool." But then as you study more about centimorgans, which is part of a unit of genetic measurement, hers were so much higher than any of my other first cousins. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So I kept studying it. I stayed up at all night long looking at all this stuff and was able to come to the realization that she was more than a first cousin. She was actually my half-aunt, which would make Jerry my birth father.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. So that happened. All those questions that I looked down, I went, oh, so there's my birth father. Wow.
What did you do when you realized this? I mean, that's mind-blowing.
It is. Well, I ran back to therapy. I called Dr. Hammerschlag, who is a very tall man and loved basketball, and I had not talked to him in many years, but had not been in therapy for my feelings for 25 years. He was nearly 80 years old, and I called him, and I went, I found my birth family, and you won't believe it, and will you see me again? And he said, well, I'm not practicing anymore, but sure, I'll see you. So I went in, and again, he tried to say, okay. I said, my birth father is Jerry Buss. Oh my gosh, my birth sister is Jeannie Buss, the governor of the LA Lakers. He goes, yeah, what are you going to do with that information? I'm like, well, I don't know. I want to meet them, and I'm supposed to meet my Aunt Susan here in a couple of months. And he goes, yeah, and then what? What if they think you're just trying to go for money? I said, no, I just want to meet them. I want to meet my birth mother. Maybe she's still alive. I just miss meeting my birth father by 5 years, but maybe my mother's still alive.
And so what was the next step?
Well, my Aunt Susan was up in the White Mountains. I did not tell her that I knew who she was, because there's often rejection in adoption families. When you find out who your birth parents or siblings are, they can often reject you and say, I don't want to have anything to do with you, for whatever reason. So it was my Aunt Susan who coached me. You must write a letter to Jeannie. And in this letter, make sure you tell her you don't want anything, you don't need anything, and send pictures of you. They will know who you are. It turned out that my Aunt Susan was the only person that my birth mother confessed to that she had given a child away at birth.
Now, I just want to go back a little bit. What type of childhood did you have? Were you happy growing up? Did you have a good family life? Were your adoptive parents just good people?
My adoptive parents were very good people. They were very sweet and very kind and very much in love with each other. They didn't know the right side of a nickel. So we had a lot of struggles financially, and we moved a lot back and forth between Phoenix and Los Angeles. So when I was in LA, I was with my adoptive aunt and uncle, who were wonderful people. And during this whole time, I never felt unloved at all. Never. But I knew that there was more to my life, and I wanted the answers. Unfortunately, I didn't want to hurt my adoptive parents. So I waited until they both had passed before I searched in earnest.
So now that you found your adoptive parents, I mean your birth parents, you've written a letter. What was the reaction? What was the reaction of your the other siblings, and how did they take it? You know, that's a trauma for them to suddenly find out they have this older sister.
Yeah, the best part of it was that my Aunt Susan, who, bless her soul, she's passed on, but she was a hoot. And she was positive, and she loved me so much, just instant love. And she said, you must write a letter to Jeannie. And I was like, where do I send that letter to? And she said, oh, just send it to the Lakers office. Oh, okay. So I looked up the address, and I sent it. And I sent it registered and found out that, you know, the mail guy picked it up. I thought, this letter will never get to Jeannie. Lo and behold, it did. And she wrote back and she said, thank you so much for writing to me. I have your pictures and your letter, and I've sent them to my siblings, and you must give them time to process all this. And it was a very short letter, but it was very kind. And you could tell that she knew who I was. I mean, you could tell that there was no, you know, when you're really wealthy, and Jerry Buss had a very different life than many of us are used to. He was a celebrity and had a lot of women friends, and many of them tried to, you know, say, oh, you must be, you know. So the most important part of that was that Jeannie said, my guard was up. I didn't know who this person was, who all of a sudden said, are you a love child of Jerry Buss? She was used to that because celebrities, that's how it goes. And but that never happened with me. So she was very kind.
Now, how did you meet your new family?
That's a great story because there's a man who, his name is Ronnie Weinstein, and he's the family mediator. And he started with Jerry Buss and the Lakers the very year that Jerry bought the Los Angeles Lakers in 1979. So he's been with the family for well over 40 years. He called one day. I hadn't met any of my siblings yet. And he lives in California, but he said, oh, I just happened to be going through the Grand Canyon, my son and I, and we're going to come right through Sedona. And would you like to have dinner? I'm like, well, sure. And he said, well, where would you like to meet? I said, Talaki Paki, Oak Creek Grill. So that afternoon, we met about 5 o'clock. I was walking across the parking lot, and I saw this man looking at me. And I said, are you looking for someone? And he said, oh, no, I know exactly who you are. You're a Buss. That floored me.
The family resemblance.
Yeah. He said, I said to myself, here's a complete stranger, and he's recognizing me as a Buss. So that was a lot to process. But he set up a barbecue. And 3 of my 4 full siblings came, and it was like we'd been together forever.
And they accepted you, and you chatted like old friends.
Yes, immediately. Immediately. When I first met my brother, actually, he came next to Sedona. And the minute I saw him, I kind of ran up to him. You're my brother. And I kept hugging him and hugging him. And I don't know what he thought about it, but I think he felt the same way.
Now, is that your brother, Johnny?
Johnny, the one who wrote the foreword to the book.
Would you say he's the one you have the best connection with?
I think because he thought he was the eldest. And there's a documentary that we all participated in on Hulu. It's called Legacy, The True Story of the Lakers. And when they first interviewed Johnny, they asked him a question off camera. So you're the eldest, right? And Johnny was like, well, not exactly. And that kind of opened up everything in terms of, hey, I'm a sibling. We're interviewing all the siblings. So let's interview Lee. And so I did participate in the documentary. But because Johnny and I are the closest in age, and he really did think he was the eldest, it kind of blew him away. He's like, oh, my gosh, I've got a big sister. And so, yeah, I feel really close, actually, to all of them. I have not met Jimmy yet, but my other 3 full siblings, I feel very close to, definitely.
Now, you said there was a Hulu special. Can you mention that again?
Oh, it's on Hulu. It actually went out in October. It's still on Hulu now. It's called Legacy, The True Story of the Lakers. It's 10 episodes, and it goes through the story of Jerry Buss, how he bought the Lakers, all the great players, Magic Johnson, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all of the wonderful players. I'm in the last one, episode 10, and that's also the episode with Kobe, the death of Kobe Bryant as well.
So if you get a chance, check that out on Hulu. I just want to say my name is Andrea Pasquale, and I am interviewing today Lee Close. Now, Lee wrote a book, and it's called Late for the Bus, An Adoption Story. And this book is going to be featured on A Good Book coming up. And I just wanted to get a little bit of an interview with her because for longtime Sun Sounds listeners, you may remember Lee because she did a show called In Tune with Music. I'd say about 15 years ago to 12 years ago. So Lee is back, only this time with a new book and a new family.
Yes. And, you know, it was, again, you know, In Tune with Music, that's in the book. I talk about my time with Sun Sounds.
Thank you.
And how much fun I had. And here's an interesting story. I recently sold my piano, and the woman who came to buy the piano brought a cellist with her and introduced me to this cellist, and her last name was Metz, M-E-T-Z. And I said, Metz, are you related to John Metz? And she said, that's my husband. He passed away a few years ago. I went, oh my goodness, I interviewed John Metz for Sun Sounds. He's in my book.
And really?
He was with the ASU, the harpsichord, you know, and he also was the director and founder of the Phoenix Early Music Society. So I interviewed him, I think, in 2003.
Wow.
So small world.
Yes. Now, did you have any expectations for the reunion when you were meeting all your siblings? Were you apprehensive? Were you looking for this wonderful reunion? What were your, you know, prior to meeting them?
I don't know. I guess I am the kind of person that I look forward to meeting people. Part of my growing up was moving back and forth. I was always meeting new people. So I love people and I love meeting new people. And yes, I was nervous, but for me, it was just always instant hugs. And Jeannie and I had met in Las Vegas to meet my birth mother. So I had met Johnny and I had met Jeannie. I had not met Janie yet before the first barbecue. So I got introduced kind of one-on-one to them, and it was just natural.
But you were able to meet your birth mother.
I was. Joanne, my birth mother, passed away at the age of 86. She was in a beautiful place in Las Vegas where she had lived for many years, in the last stages of Alzheimer's. And Jeannie knew that she might not last much longer. Janie, my other sister, had called and said she fell and broke a rib and she's got pneumonia. She's nonverbal, but she's still very active in terms of wanting to see all of us. And so Jeannie and I met in Las Vegas, and I had pictures, baby pictures of my phone. When I got in to see my birth mother, she was just kind of waking up, and it was a beautiful room with lots of people around. And Jeannie encouraged me to go over and sit on the bed and hold my mother's hand. And I had pictures of me on my phone. And I had learned by that time that my birth name was Marie. I would point to my phone and say, Marie. And then I would point to my heart and say, Marie, I'm Marie. And I did this a few times, and she just watched me. She wasn't speaking, but she was looking directly. We made this instant contact. I said, I love you. I've had a good and peaceful life, and you never, ever have to worry about me again. And then she was getting tired, and she was going in for an operation to reduce fluid off her lungs. And so I stood at the end of the bed, and Jeannie and I stood there together. And my birth mother looked at Jeannie and said, "Mother." And then she pointed to me and said, "Mother." And Jeannie said, "Yes, Mom, this is Marie, and we are sisters."
Wow.
Has this changed you?
Inside, yes. Outside, life is still pretty much the same. But inside, I've had all my questions answered. Life goes on. Ronnie Weinstein continues to plan these soirees. And yes, I've changed on the inside. It doesn't matter. I didn't find out who my birth family was until I was 65 years old. I'm 69 now. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter when you get that answer. When that answer comes, you're complete.
That's been Lee Close. Lee, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Lee has a new book. It's called Late for the Bus, An Adoption Story. And this is part of our A Good Book series. And you can hear the whole narrative. Lee is reading the narrative of A Good Book on Sun Sounds. We have that show running Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. And also, this interview can be heard online at sunsounds.org on our on-demand page under specials. I hope you will tune in to listen. And again, if you have the chance, Legacy, the true story of the Lakers, is on Hulu. Check it out. The whole history of Jerry Buss, and Lee will be in the last episode. Lee, thank you so much for joining me today.
Andrea, thank you so much. It's so good to see you again.
And it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for some more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.